Ah, Bing Crosby. It seems like his voice is everywhere this time of year. But KUOW's Amanda Wild argues Crosby is part of the same musical pantheon as Jimi Hendrix and Kurt Cobain. All three artists came out of Washington State, built their careers during economic booms, and all three were musical game changers. Wild told Jeannie Yandel how Bing Crosby redefined what it meant to be a star and then used that star power to change music technology.
He was the first real media superstar in films, in radio, which he was on for over 30 years. He won awards for his film work, you know, as well as his singing. He also invented a certain style of singing that we now know as crooning. And he did that partially by using brand new technology of the microphone. He used it in a way that we really don't know how it was intended to be used, but certainly not the way he used it. And it was a big success for him. Also, he really boosted the use of magnetic tape, which became a standard in the industry. Before Bing Crosby, shows were all done live, and he wanted to pre-record his show because it was really getting in the way of his golfing and horse racing. So what they did at first was to record the show on these giant wax discs, which cannot be changed. So when he gave money to the Ampex Corporation to help boost projects that had to do with magnetic tape, he became the first show recorded by magnetic tape, and suddenly tape was flexible and you could edit it and change it and move it around. And that was the first time that happened. So that was a huge leap forward, and it became the standard in the industry.
It's also important to note that Bing Crosby, and this is one of the reasons you're looking at him and his work and his life, he's from Washington State. What's his connection to this place?
Well, he was born in Tacoma, but soon after moved with his big family to Spokane. His father built a house there. And what connects all these artists is that they all came out of these big boom periods in our state. So economically, Spokane was flourishing at this time, and there were millionaires living there, which led to a boost in parks and libraries and the arts. And Bing was part of all of that culture growing up, the sort of upward and onward and moving into new places and being adventuresome.
Amanda, I'm going to be honest with you, and I am not sure how to segue between Bing Crosby and the next artist that you've been looking at from Washington State, Jimi Hendrix.
Well, here's a good segue for you. Bing Crosby invented that magnetic tape, and then 30 years later, in another boom period in Seattle, Washington, Jimi Hendrix turned that all on its head. He not only played his guitar upside down, he turned the whole recording process upside down by turning all the amplifiers up to 10, which they were not supposed to really perform at. So he got this new sound that was drenched in feedback and distortion, and he made that work musically. Let's just take probably his most famous song, Purple Haze. I still hear this around Seattle all the time, just where I shop, where I go.
Excuse me while I kiss the sky.
We are proud to be the birthplace of Jimi Hendrix. So take this song, Purple Haze, and you'll hear that Hendrix setting, as they call it, the above 10 setting of everything. And he did it so brilliantly. And he definitely became a symbol for a generation, you know, the generation we know now as the boomers. That generation at that time was questioning, and he was questioning, too, through his music. You know, what is up and down? What's right and wrong? What's noise? What's music?
Where do you think we hear Jimi Hendrix's upbringing here in the Seattle area in his music?
Well, he went to some of the most diverse schools in the country at the time. And so I think his upbringing here made him that sort of everyman that he is. I don't think people think of Jimi Hendrix, for instance, as a black musician, which is kind of interesting in our highly charged culture right now, you know, but he's never been looked at that way. He's sort of, he's masculine, he's feminine, he's Indian, he's white, he's black. And even though he was aloof in a certain way, he brought this passion to the stage, and that's what made him relatable.
So, Amanda, the last artist that you're looking at from Washington State right now is Kurt Cobain, the frontman for Nirvana. Why him?
So Kurt Cobain, I think, really picked up the pieces of Jimi Hendrix's smash guitar and sort of put something else together and made a new sound. And that's how he became the face of grunge music. And it was also in a boom period, but he was growing up in Aberdeen, a town that was just deteriorating and deteriorating. So it's almost like the rural antithesis of the boom period. when you look at his musical reaction to that. You know, he was part of the whole loser era of music.
That's interesting. Kurt Cobain was very upfront about not liking his hometown, Aberdeen. Where do you see Aberdeen show up in his music, though?
Well, he said Aberdeen was like Twin Peaks without the excitement. But I think the reason he got really, really into punk music. Iggy Pop was his idol. That hard edge music was his reaction to living in this really stagnant place. So I think it shows up everywhere in his music. What he did with Nirvana so brilliantly is that they sort of took that hard edge, but they also sneaked in this pop aesthetic, and it made it really universal. A lot of people heard it and could hear the musical part of that hard rock, you know, punk sound.
Where do you see Kurt Cobain and Nirvana's innovation when it comes to technology and music?
He was like a Junkmeister. I mean, he played junk. He wore junk. He, you know, the song Polly is done on a guitar that he said he got in a junk shop and barely kept it in tune and had to tape the, you know, tuning keys to keep it where it was. But that's exactly that junky sort of out of tune thing is what's so genuine and authentic about his music. So I think it still attracts us today. It's really hard, too, I think, to get in a recording that feel of something live. And I think the people that Nirvana recorded with were able to capture that really well. Some of our local producers were in on that, on Bleach and then on Nevermind, which was, of course, the groundbreaking world hit.
Well, you said that all three of these artists, Bing Crosby, Jimi Hendrix, and Kurt Cobain, they all created during economic boom times. We're in an economic boom right now here in Seattle. Do you think that there's an artist who will be the next one of those, the next kind of game changer artist?
I think it's quite likely, but I'm not going to be able to say who that is, not because I'm hiding anything, but because, you know, the presentation I do looks at the 20th century. And being where we are in time, that gives me some historical perspective. And I just don't think we have the historical perspective right now to, you can predict, but you can't really know. You know, in 20 years even, we'll be able to see that. I would say, you know, some of the artists coming out of Washington State now have changed how we do things. Like Macklemore has really changed music distribution, for example. Jimi Hendrix changed poster art. So I think we can see some parallels, but as far as lasting impact, I think it takes some time in between to be able to look back and see what that was.
Amanda Wild is the host of KUOW's The Swing Years and Beyond, which airs Saturdays at 7 p.m. Her study of Washington State's music pioneers is part of Humanities Washington Speakers Bureau. She talked with Jeannie Andel. I'm Patricia Murphy. Thanks for joining us for The Record.